Bible says, I will bless the Lord sometimes. His praise shall occasionally be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord as long as there's money in the bank. I will bless the Lord as long as I am in good health. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be out of my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, village, and let us exalt his name. How? Together. The Bible also tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. Do you know how many times we would be given thanks if we actually took that scripture literally? Everything we gave thanks. We get fired, we give thanks. We get a flat tire, we give thanks. Someone disrespects us, we give thanks. In everything, give thanks. There's no fine print. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. How often, church? And just in case you forgot, he says, and again, I say rejoice. He actually wrote that in prison. Psalms 42, verses 5 and 11 says this, why art thou cast down, O my soul? You ever felt like that? And why art thou disquieted within me? Notice what he says, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Our praise, our thanksgiving, our rejoicing in the Lord is not contingent upon the circumstances. The circumstances always fluctuate. They always change. There's always mountains. There's always valleys. But what remains the same is that God is always good. He's always on the throne. His mercy endures forever. God gives blessings and his eyes are on all his children. So as God sits on the throne 24/7, praise, rejoicing, thanksgiving ought to be 24/7. The Lord said to the devil, hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in all the earth. He's perfect. He's upright. He fears me and he runs from evil. And the devil said to the Lord, well, does Job fear you for nothing? Every time he pulls out of that driveway in his nice car and his nice house and his lovely kids and you made a hedge about him, take all those things from him. And he's not going to bless you no more. He's going to curse you, God, in fact, to your face. So the Lord, I said the Lord, allowed Satan to hit Job hard. He let him do it. And he said, you can touch all these things, but don't take his life. And Satan hit him hard. I don't think there's been anybody that got hit as hard as Job. He lost all his kids at the same time. Lost everything that he had, back to back to back. And the Bible says that when Job heard that, he arose. He rent his mantle. He shaved his head. He fell down and worshiped. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. You see, the devil wants to hit us so hard that we stop praising him. We stop thanking him. We stop blessing him. And he wants to shut that down because he understands there's actual power in praise. Power in thanksgiving. Power in blessing the name of the Lord. When we walk around moping around because of our trials, because of the storm, We're telling ourselves and we're telling the entire world that our God is smaller than our trials. We're telling the world as if God doesn't even exist. But friends, the Bible doesn't tell us to magnify the trials. It tells us, oh, magnify the Lord. A brother sent me a text this week. He received bad news that nobody in here wants to hear. He said, Pastor, the doctor gave him news that he and his family, they did not want to hear. But in the text message, he said, Pastor, my faith is strong. And he ended off the message with these words, and it touched my heart this week. He said, Glory to God. I will bless the Lord at all times. Whoso offereth praise, a sacrifice of praise, glorifies me. Remember when the disciples and Jesus, they were on that boat and they were in a storm, friends. Now the disciples, imagine if we were on that boat. You can hear the howling, roaring winds. You can feel the sting of the water on your face. You can feel the cold sensation as the water rises up your legs and the rocking of the boat. The experience of that storm was fearful. It's no different from the storms that you and I go through today. The kids are in trouble. We feel it. The marriage is on the rocks. We feel it. The names that are on the internet that are slandering us and gossiping about us, we hear it. We read it. And the storm and that experience is also real. But just like the disciples, even though the storm was overwhelming, it doesn't mean that God is not on the boat. He seems silent, but he's there. And now the disciples begin to panic because of the storm. Lord, don't you see what's going on over here? Don't we say the same thing to God? Don't you care that we're going to perish? And Jesus gets up off his pillow. He goes probably to the end of that boat, pulls his sleeves back, and says, Peace, be still. The Bible says that they were fearful because they wondered, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves and the sea obey him? You see, friends, we could be in the storm and God could show up and show out at any moment. He can say, Peace, be still. In fact, that storm that the disciples went through, they didn't even have to go through a storm. God could have stopped it. God could have prevented it from happening in the beginning. But God didn't. He let the storm happen. He allowed them to go through the storm. Why? Because God was trying to teach them, as he's trying to teach me and teach you. Don't magnify the storm. It's not about the storm. It's about the man in the boat. Magnify him. Tarek, don't get so anxious about what you're seeing, what you're reading, what you're feeling, what you're experiencing mentally, emotionally, or even physically. Magnify the man in the boat. You see, friends, if all 12 disciples were on that boat, there were 13 people on that boat. All 13 people went through the exact same storm and test. But 12 of them utterly failed and panicked and magnified the problems of that storm. But only one rested calmly in the bosom of his Father. And God is trying to teach us that when storms happen, don't magnify the storm. Magnify me, praise me, thank me, give glory to me, and also be just like me. Christ is our example. And as how he relaxed in the storm, amen. That's our calling as well. Listen to this statement I found in Desire of Ages. When Jesus was awakened to meet the storm, he was in perfect peace. There was no trace of fear in word or look, for no fear was in his heart. But he rested not in the possession of almighty power. It was not as the master of earth and sea and sky that he reposed in quiet. That power he had laid down, and he says, I can of mine own self do nothing. He trusted in the Father's might. It was in faith, faith in God's love and care that Jesus rested, and the power of that word, which stilled the storm, was the power of God. Jesus laid his power aside. When he was in that boat, the only thing he had was the power of his faith in his Father, and he rested in God's love and care. Now watch how she finishes this. As Jesus rested by faith in the Father's care, so we are to rest in the care of our Savior. When we go through storms, God has given us the example of how to navigate through storms. Don't magnify the storm. Magnify the man in the boat. Amen. Because he's in the storm. And you too can be like him in the storm. You know, when Jesus said, "Peace be still," to the storm, he can say, "Peace be still," to your storm just like that and end it. But before he says, "Peace be still," to that storm, you know what he wants to do? He wants to say, "Peace be still," to this storm. Stop being so anxious. Stop being so worked up. Be at peace. Praise me. Thank me. Magnify my name. I can stop that at any time. Peace. Be still. When I got out of rehab, I was excited because the Lord came into my life. And I said, man, I didn't know anything about Christ. I came back home. I had my Bible in my hands. But when I came back home, I still had a host of problems. One of them was, is that I was out of the work, out of job for maybe a year and a half, 2 years. And so, for that time, I was on drugs, very hardcore. I had eviction notices piling up on my door. The landlady told me, T, I like you. But if you don't pay your rent, you're going to be out of here. You got till Monday, 5 p.m. to pay something or you're going to get kicked out. So now I'm a new believer in God. I'm worrying. I'm anxious. I don't have any money. Where in the world am I supposed to go? I'm like, Lord, I'm feeling the waves. I'm hearing the wind. This is getting serious. I'm magnifying this storm in my life. You know, it was at that time that I was out of the work for so long. I'm trying to remember. That I was owed a certain amount of money because I was on workers' comp and disability for a while. So in my calculations, I needed at least $1,000 that they owed me to get paid, and that would be enough to pay what I needed to pay in order to survive. So I called them, and they said, "Mr. Patel, that money's not coming. You got 2 or 3 weeks until you get paid." And I said, "I don't have 2 to 3 weeks. I got 3 days. I got till Monday at 5 o'clock. That's the deadline. She's going to send the paperwork in and I'm done." So I'm nervous. I'm anxious now. It's Sunday. It's Monday. I call them again. They say, "Mr. Patel, we told you it's going to be 2 to 3 weeks. You're not going to get paid." So that Monday now, the time is ticking. It's getting close to 5 o'clock. Now, I had a lesson quarterly, and I started to go through my lesson quarterly for my studies and devotions with God, and it just so happened that the lesson quarterly was on the story of Job. Now, as a new believer, for the first time now, as a new believer, I heard the story of Job, but I never opened the Bible and read Job chapter 1 and 2 and started to read the story for myself. When I did that, it did something to me. That story grabbed my heart. And then I got to the end and I said, here is a man that had been through so much. He lost a lot more than me. I'm about to lose my place. He lost everything. And yet at the end of that, he can say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." I was so humbled and rebuked at the same time. I was so caught up in the story of Job. It actually calmed me down because I knew that someone else God had delivered that went through something worse than me. It was then that I realized that I had called the folks again, and they had me on hold for about half an hour. I was so caught up in the study. And all of a sudden, the phone came back on. They said, "Okay, can I have your social and your name, please?" And I said, "Oh, okay. Oh, I forgot I was on the phone." And I was thinking to myself, "No, I don't have to give it. I know what you guys are going to say 2 to 3 weeks." They said, "Let me have your name and your social." So I gave them my name and my social security again. And they said, okay, Mr. Patel, you're going to get paid and your payment is going to come. And I'm saying, okay, I know, 2-3 weeks. They said, your payment is going to be processed today. In fact, your first payment, and I said, excuse me? Your first payment is going to be in the amount of $2,300. My jaw hit the ground. And because it's a large amount, Mr. Patel, not only are you going to get that payment today, but you're going to get a second payment today on your card. And the second payment is $3,300. I almost fell back. Up until that point in my life, I've never received that much money in my life all in one go, ever. You know what I did, church? I couldn't believe it. I said, put it on the card. Let me call the number on the card and make sure it's on there. When I saw that it was on there, you know what I did? I stood up. I had a white t-shirt on. I ripped my t-shirt. I fell on the ground on my face with tears in my eyes, and I started thanking and praising God. My twin brother came into the place, and I said, Adam, get on your face, man, and just praise God with me. And he obediently just went down and started praising God. Thank you, Jesus. And then he looked at me and he said, brother, why are we praising God for? And I told him the testimony. And he started shouting praise even louder. You know why? Because he slept on my couch. And if I had to go, he had to go too. I made it to the grocery store, got the money order for the rent that I needed. Went to the landlady, Marge's desk, and I slid that money order on the desk just real smooth. She looked at me with her glasses, and she looked at the clock or the watch, and she said, T, you are lucky. I said, I'm not lucky, Marge. I'm blessed. Amen. Friends, God was teaching me something as a new believer. He said, Tarek, you can bless me. I can say peace be still to that storm at any time. But Tarek, I want you to bless my name even if you don't get that $5,500. I want you to praise my name and magnify my name and thank me even in the middle of the storm, just like Job. Just like in Acts chapter 16, verses 23 through 25, the story of Paul and Silas who knew how to praise God in the storm. Now I'm going to read that text to you right here. The Bible says something interesting in this story. In verse 23 of Acts 16, it says, and when they had laid, not a few, many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison. And after that, they put their feet fast in the stocks. Many stripes in the dungeon, feet in the stocks. And now it was midnight. They had ample material to magnify the storm, to complain about the injustice, to complain about the whipping, to complain about the feet, to complain, complain, complain. But instead of magnifying the storm, they magnified the man in the boat. The Bible says at midnight that Paul and Silas prayed and they sang praises unto God. And this is what it says next. And the prisoners heard them. You see, friends, when you begin to praise God in the storm or in the prison or in the dungeon, not only do you sense the man in the boat and the man in the boat starts to stand up, but others start to hear about that man in the boat. The next verse says that the earth started to shake and the doors of the prison were opened. And I love what it says. Everyone's bands were loosed. Not just theirs, but other people started to experience things. And finally, the jailer said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Amen. Friends, is there power in the praise? Amen. Is there power when we praise the Lord? They praise the Lord. You know what happened? God says, I can break you out of this prison at any time. But he did not break them out until they prayed. And until they started to praise the Lord, then the Lord said, hey, Gabriel, have you considered my servants? I got some believers down there. And the angel came down there and shook up the prison. The prisoners were loosed and others now made decisions for Christ. It's just like 2 Chronicles chapter 20 with the story of Jehoshaphat. Another situation of a man and a country praising the name of God in the middle of the storm, praying and praising. The Ammonites outnumbered them. There's no way they could beat those guys. No way. But the first thing that Jehoshaphat did in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 is that he sought the Lord. The Bible says he sought the Lord with all his heart with prayer and fasting. And if you read that story carefully, you will see that Jehoshaphat sought the Lord and he prayed to God, and he prayed to God using God's own word, praying it back to him. You know what happens when you pray God's word back to him? His word doesn't come back void. His word has power. So Jehoshaphat started to pray his word. Lord, you said this. You said you would do this. And as he sought the Lord by praying to the Lord through his word, the next thing that happens is that God spoke to him. One of the Levites stood up and the Spirit of the Lord fell on him. And he told all those folks of Judah, stand still. You don't have to fight. And see the salvation of the Lord. So he sought the Lord through the word. He heard the Lord through the word. And then he believed the Lord on his word. And in the storm, when you believe God's word, you know what he did? He fell on the ground and he started to worship with all of Judah. The Levites stood in the back and they started to sing praises unto the Lord. And all this was taking place and the Ammonites were still there. The bank account was still low. The health numbers were not good. The relationships were still on the rocks. The kids were still in trouble. But the only thing that changed was not the circumstance. It was Jehoshaphat. It was Judah. And before God said, peace be still, he said, peace be still. I can win this battle. Now I'll read what it says in 2 Chronicles. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Watch this. He seeks the Lord through his word. He hears the Lord by his word. He believes the Lord on his word. He praises the Lord with his word. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. They were done. God took care of it. Peace be still. Church, is there power in praise? Is there power in prayer? Amen. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 22 and verse 3. Come with me to Psalms 22 and verse 3. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Are we there, church? Look what Psalms 22, verse 3 says. Very powerful verse. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. What does it mean to inhabit? You dwell within. In another translation, it renders that God is enthroned in the praises of Israel. So how God has his throne sitting in the most holy place. But when you praise God, God is enthroned sitting in the midst of your praise. No wonder praise is powerful and it shakes up dungeons. No wonder praise is victorious in the battle. Now I want you to listen to this statement right here. To praise God in fullness and sincerity of heart is as much a duty as is prayer. Think about that, friends. Praising God is as much a duty as is prayer. Now, the Bible says we should pray without what? We should praise also without ceasing. Is prayer powerful? Is praise powerful? The Bible says the weapons of our war are not carnal, but they are mighty. Maybe, church, we're only using one of these weapons and not the weapon of praise. Ellen White says prayer takes us up to the throne of God. But we read in Psalms 22, verse 3, that when we praise, God is enthroned in the praise. Prayer, praise, is as much a duty as prayer. So, church, what are some ways that we can praise God? We can praise God like Jehoshaphat and Paul and Silas with song. We can praise him, Andrew's Academy Strings, in music. We can praise God in prayer. We can praise God with our public testimonies. Look what Christ did. This was the very practice of Christ. When he was oft assailed with temptations. How many of us are assailed with temptations? In the place of yielding or being provoked at the perversity and crooked ideas he had to meet, he sang praise to God. Their fluent speech, Christ stopped with spiritual songs. Temptations, satanic attacks, the power of praise, the weapon of Christ was song. Singing with fervency and melody, the grace expressed in words stopped the fluency of the speech of tempters who did not know what they were talking about. And these precious psalms Christ poured forth, giving thanks unto the Father. Just keep praising God. And when the devil tempts you, sing. When Christ was a child, he was tempted in every way. And what did he do? He sang psalms and praised God. And there was music in his voice. And there was an impression made upon the hearts and minds of those who heard him. As he sang praises in the dungeon, the prisoners heard him. He wants you to have heaven in view. And heaven is a good deal nearer than you think. Jesus is on the boat. God's holy anointed ones are right by you. And here is his church, the greatest object of his love that it is possible for him to have. He is watching over how many of us, church? Every one of us. We can praise God through song. Defeat Satan. Defeat temptation. Defeat those who come against us with praises to God. It shakes up the dungeon. It goes before us in the battle. God responds and moves his throne in a response to praise. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. The Bible says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony. Jesus told those demoniacs to go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. Do not dwell upon the hardships of the Christian life. Do not talk of your trials. For if you do, you will become more and more inclined to complain of God. Friends, there's a lot of material you could complain about and be negative about. But if we spent more time praising and thanking God, notice this. Talk of the love of Christ. Bring it into your heart and life. Be thankful that the Lord has spared you and that you have not been cut off without having gained a preparation for entrance into the heavenly kingdom. Guess what, friends? You can praise God and your health situation could be exactly the same. Your financial situation could be exactly the same. But you know what? When you put your trust and praise in God, he has opened up the pearly gates for you. Amen. Where there is no sin and no sorrow. You have only one life in which to perfect the Christian character. That's right now. If you reveal the grace of God in your character, if the law of kindness is ever on your lips, if you constantly thank. How often do we do this, church? Constantly thank the Lord for his goodness to you. You are preparing to praise him in the home above. Turn with me to Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Third chapter. Amen. Are we there, church? Look with me, if you will, at verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. The fig tree doesn't blossom, no fruit in the vines, the olive tree fails, no food from the fields. The flock is cut off, no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. To the chief singer on my stringed instrument. This is a song of praise in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the dungeon. So friends, when you face the storm, go ahead and play the praise song like Habakkuk and rejoice in the Lord, because he says, he will make my feet like hinds' feet. He may not do nothing now, but he will. Now listen to this statement, friends. We're ready for this by God's grace. It is when you are looking to his throne, offering up your penitence and praise and thanksgiving to God, that you perfect Christian character and represent Christ to the world. You abide in Christ, and Christ abides in you. Whoso offereth praise glorifies me. When you offer that sacrifice of praise, you give God glory. Not only do you acknowledge him and you thank him and you praise him, but to give God glory is to reveal his character. So essentially, you're in that storm, just like Christ on the boat, just trusting in the love and the care of your Father. And you perfect Christian character. And the reason why is, friends, because now the one who inhabits eternity also inhabits your praises, and he is right there with you. Now come with me to Psalms 57. This is our last passage for today. Psalms 57. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be out of my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Come and exalt his name with me together. Psalms 57 is where we're going, church. Now, the context of this psalm is that David, he's running from King Saul. Saul is trying to kill him. He ends up in the cave of Adullam with his family and friends. Now, it's not that he needs $5,500. His whole family is about to die. And Saul means business. Right before this time that he wrote Psalms 57, King Saul just finished killing about 85 priests of the Lord. So he means business. And in the middle of this trial, David picks up his harp, and he writes and pens and sings this song. Verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongue a sharp sword. Watch him now. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. Watch David now. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. His soul is among lions, but the man in the boat was in the cave. And we know that because it's Psalms 57, and the Holy Spirit was there with him. And you know what the Lord did as David was in that situation? He gave him the anointing of his spirit. He gave him the peace to keep him still in this moment. And even though he didn't handle the storm straight away, but he did, because as David exalted the Lord eventually stood up from his pillow. He rolled his sleeves and said, David, don't worry. You don't have to fight this battle. Peace. Be still. David exalted God. Did God exalt David? Is there power in praise? After I got my $5,500, I ended up going back to work. And I worked at this warehouse for 10 years total. So during that time, I ended up going to rehab. I came back to the same job at the warehouse. Now it's crazy because when I left the job, I was drug addict, crazy Tarek. But by the time I came back to the job, I was a new believer, young Christian, born again Tarek. But I still had the same coworkers. We hung out at the bar, we drank, we did all kinds of things together. But now I was back into this environment. But thank God, God spoiled me on my journey. There was a guy that worked in the plant and he transferred to the warehouse. This guy was not only a Christian, he was a Seventh-day Adventist. We went to the same church. We formed the same ministry team together. He's my brother, Hassan. And Hassan was in working with me the whole time. So now I had a Christian brother. I used to go out and smoke those cigarettes. Well, I still did when I came back, but God gave me victory over that later. But I had a brother in Christ at the job. One day we were working. I was picking orders and stuff in the warehouse. And there was like a speaker announcement on the intercom. And the boss asked all of us to come into the break room. He said, what's going on? We never have break at this time. So we came into the break room. We sat, and when we walked in the break room, we saw police officers standing on the walls. So we're thinking, okay, somebody's in trouble. What in the world's going on? I sit down. We all sit down. The boss stands in front. He has a solemn look on his face. And then comes the VP of the company, pretty big company. He flew in all the way from Minnesota. Now we see his picture on the wall, and here he is, live in the flesh. We begin to think, okay, something big is definitely going on. Somebody steals something. What's going on? The VP stood in front of us in that break room, and he said, guys, I'm just going to make this just short and quick. You're all fired. You're terminated. Effective immediately. The break room erupted. Guys were cursing, pounding tables. Man, I gave all this, you know, work here for this long, and this is how you treat me, and all this stuff. They were cursing, and that's why the cops were there, and the cops began to hold their belts. They got serious. I was in the middle of the break room with my friend Hassan. And it was then in that moment that I looked at Hassan. Hassan looked at me. And simultaneously, we clasped hands in the middle of that break room. And we said at the same time, "Praise the Lord." Now, I didn't want to lose my position. I made top pay, me and Hassan. And quite frankly, I didn't know what I was going to do. But you know what encouraged me? I was nervous when I held Hassan's hand and I said, "Praise the Lord." But inside, I was still nervous. I was like, I don't know what I would do. Hassan was laughing. He said, "Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus." And I remember thinking in my mind, like, "Hassan, you're taking this praise thing a little too far, brother." But I felt like big brother was helping out little brother. Not only was I trying to hold on to the Lord, I felt like I was holding on to Hassan too. You know what, friends? A lot of things has changed since then. Circumstances have changed. But you know what has always remained? God is still on the throne. Amen. By the way, Hassan is doing really well today. And friends, I don't work in the warehouse anymore. I work for the man in the boat. And as I've trusted God all through the ages and in my time, God has taken me through ups and downs. He's taken me all the way. And guess what, friends? Even if I didn't get the $5,500, even if you don't get to get up out of the hospital bed, even if the storm is still present in your life, you know what? Praise the Lord. Magnify his name. Rejoice in the Lord always. In everything, give thanks. Because guess what? He may not do it then, but as the scripture says, he will make your feet like hinds' feet. He will, because you know why? The man in the boat is going to be the man in the clouds. And he's going to come again, friends. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. And Tarek, if I'm still alive, when the Lord comes, my glasses are going to fall to the ground. I'm going to have 20/20 vision. No more back pains, no more cancer, no more death, no more fear, no more storms, no more battles, no more lions. Can I tell you something? When we look at the size of that fruit on the tree of life, we're going to forget everything we went through down here. Ellen White says that we're going to say heaven is cheap enough. You know what we're going to do for all eternity? We're going to be praising the Lord. So friends, why don't we start our praise session right now? You know, Elijah and Moses, they missed their opportunity now, I bet. When Elijah was under that juniper tree and said, "Lord, I have enough. Just take away my life." And Moses said, "I can't do it." I bet they were saying, "Well, Lord, I wish I would have praised you then. You picked me up in a chariot of fire, and now I'm up here with you." Friends, we got one shot. Why not start your praise session in the storm? In the prison, in the battle, in poor health, with no money, with the kids in trouble. Why don't you start your praise session with your soul among lions and exalt the name of the Lord? Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that orders his conduct aright, will I show the salvation of God. How many of you today would say, "Lord, whatever comes my way, I'm going to magnify the man in the boat. I'm going to praise the name of Jesus." And you know what he will begin to do more and more? Before he says, "Peace be still," he will say, "Peace. Be still." And you too can trust in the love and the care of your Father, because heaven is nearer than you think. Amen. If that's your desire to say, "Lord, I may be going through storms today," and guess what? As long as we're breathing and living, you will go through storms. But let's make a commitment today not to just use one weapon of power, but to use the weapon of praise. How many of you today would say, "Lord, I'm going to praise you, even though my soul is among lions. Let me see your hands. I'm going to magnify your name. I'm going to give you thanks. More than talking and slandering and gossip and negative remarks, I'm going to give God glory. That's going to change your life. And the prisoners will hear as well. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. We've made a commitment today to praise him. Praise him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Lord, you are the Creator, the Alpha and the Omega. With this time that you've given us the privilege to have, may all of heaven look down and say, wow, hast thou considered the servants of God, blessing his name at all times. So Lord, let us start to praise you now that we can be prepared to continue the praise session for all eternity. May we reflect your character, perfect Christian character, and magnify Jesus, the Creator, the Lord of the storms, the Master of the seas, and the man who's in the boat with us. We give you the praise, Lord, as we make this commitment. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listing of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website, or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.